Okay, we are recording. So my name is Charlotte Botenhagen, and I am here with Jennifer Botenhagen. The date is 5/2/2021. I am located in Washington, D.C., and Ms. Botenhagen is located in Telluride, Colorado. Ms. Botenhagen, I want to briefly review the informed consent and deed of gift document that you signed. This interview is for the COVID-19 Oral History Project, which is associated with the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive. The COVID-19 Oral History Project is a rapid response oral history focused on archiving the lived experience of the COVID-19 epidemic. We have designed this project so that professional researchers and the broader public can create and upload their oral histories to our open access and open source database. This study will help us collect narratives and understandings about COVID-19, as well as help us better understand the impacts of the pandemic over time. The recordings, demographic information, and the verbatim transcripts will be deposited in the Journal of a Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive, and the Indiana University Library System for the use of researchers and the general public. Do you have any questions about the project that I can answer?
No. Thank you, I'm ready.
Great. Taking part is voluntary. You may choose not to take part, or you may leave the study at any time. Leaving the study will not result in any penalty or loss of benefits to which you are entitled. Your decision whether or not to participate in this study will not affect your current or future relations with the Indiana University, IUPUI, or the IUPUI Arts and Humanities Institute. Participating in this project means that your interview will be recorded in digital video and or audio format and may be transcribed. The recordings and possible transcriptions of my interview, copies of any supplementary documents or additional photos that you wish to share, and the informed consent and deed of gift may be deposited in the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive in the Indiana University Library System, and will be available to both researchers and the general public. Your name and other means of identification will not be confidential. Do you have any questions?
No questions.
In addition to your signed document, would you please offer a verbal confirmation that you understand and agree to these terms?
Yes, I understand and agree to all of the terms. Thank you.
Great. I am also asking that you verbally confirm that you've agreed with your interview, that your interview will be made available under the following licenses. The Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International CC BY-NC-SA 4.0, the COVID-19 Oral History Project, the Journal of a Plague Year, a COVID-19 Archive, and the Trustees of Indiana University, IU, acting through its agents, employees, or representatives, has an unlimited right to reproduce, use, exhibit, display, perform, broadcast, creative derivative works from, and distribute the oral history materials in any manner or media now existing or hereafter deployed in perpetuity throughout the world. I agree that the oral history materials may be used by the voices from the waterways and IU, including its assigns and transferees, for any purpose, including but not limited to marketing, advertising, publicity, or other promotional purposes. I agree that IU will have final editorial authority over the use of oral history materials, and I waive any right to inspect or approve of any future use of oral history materials. Moreover, I agree that the public has the right to use the materials under the terms of fair use, U.S. Copyright Law, Section 170 of the U.S. Copyright Act. So if you could just verbally confirm that, please.
Yes, I confirm and I agree.
Thank you. Okay, finally, I want to ask for a verbal confirmation that you have agreed to that your interview will be made available to the public immediately.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, great. Then we are done with all that stuff, and we can move on to the interview questions. So, you ready? Any last-minute questions or anything like that?
No, I'm ready.
Okay, great. Okay, so our first question is, what is your name, and what are the primary things that you do on a day-to-day basis? So, for example, your job, your extracurricular activities, etc.
My name is Jennifer Botenhagen. I am a preschool teacher. I work full-time. For extracurricular, I do a lot of outdoor activities such as walking, hiking, skiing, gardening.
Nice. Okay, so where do you live and what is it like to live there?
I live in Telluride, Colorado, and it's a very small town in a very rural area surrounded by national forests and other public lands. So there's a lot of access to wild areas. And there's not a lot of people here.
Awesome. Okay, hold on one sec. When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? How have your thoughts changed since then?
Yes. When I first learned about COVID, I was very scared and anxious. I think there were a lot of unknowns and that contributed to the fear. Since then, I have come to terms with it. And I think I understand more about it and how to deal with it. And so I think I've calmed down a lot since then, and the anxiety has somewhat dissipated.
Do you remember, like, the first time that you heard about it? Because I remember I was in current events class, and we, like, talked about it. It's, like, burned in my brain.
I remember hearing about it in the news a little bit, but I think when we closed down our town and we closed down our school and everybody was ordered to go home, that was the most shocking and time, and it really hit home.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So what issues have most concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, both personal issues as to, you know, how it's going to affect my life. Am I going to get sick? Is it going to affect my job, my life? And then broader issues as well, such as, how is it going to affect the economy? How are we going to recover? And concern about how it's going to affect everyone and the scariness of the death rate. So I think all those things are concerning.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so now we're going to move into some questions about employment. So, where are you currently employed?
I'm currently employed by the Telluride School District, and I have kept my job with some quarantine and layoff periods during this whole thing, but I have still been getting paid and I have still been working.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, how has COVID played out in the school district? And tell me a little bit more about those layout periods and how it's worked.
I work in the elementary school. And at the beginning, we all shifted, closed down, and prepared to go virtual. We did a lot towards those ends, and as time went on, we really, everyone pushed to keep the preschool, even the lower grades, open the preschool has pretty much opened up again since the fall of 20, and we have managed to keep open, except for times when we've had some positive cases and we've had to close down periodically and quarantine.
Right. So in 2020, how long were you guys closed down? Like when COVID first hit?
Well, we were closed down in March when it all hit, and we stayed closed down for the rest of that school year, and we did conduct some virtual classrooms to keep the year going, and then we started up again in the fall with safety measures and in person.
And you were fully in person in the fall?
Yes, we were.
Nice. Can you tell me a little bit more about those safety measures and what you guys did?
Of course, we've all been wearing masks. We've been super diligent about cleanliness, hand washing, sanitizing. We have super air purifiers in every classroom, and we keep the windows open. We also have implemented testing weekly for the teachers every week and every other week for the students. So we've been using the testing to combat the spread and prevent that.
Awesome. So how long have you worked for the school district?
I've worked for the school district for over 10 years now.
Nice. Okay. So would you say that COVID-19 changed your employment status at all?
No, not personally for me.
Did it change the employment status of like any teachers that you know?
Yeah, it did, because a lot of teachers moved around their positions, especially the teachers who were a little bit more at high risk. And so there was some changing of positions so that some individuals could be more virtual, and there was even some hirings so that we could have people in person, and then as well as some of the teachers virtual. And the preschool teachers have pretty much remained constant, however. So that has been a difference between the preschool and the elementary.
So how is the rest of the school district dealing with COVID? Are they back in person, or how is that different from the preschool?
The whole school district now through high school is in person, unless you choose to opt out and be virtual, which is possible. There were some periods of hybrid. There was some periods of total virtual for the higher grades to stay safe. But because it's been demonstrated that in-person is so important for the younger children, the push has been for in-person learning as much as possible for the younger grades, especially through third grade.
Interesting. Okay, that's good. Thank you. So what concerns did you or do you have about the effect of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy more broadly?
I have grave concerns for the economy broadly. I think this is going to change our country immensely. And hopefully we can make the shift and continue to adjust and recover financially and economically. My situation has been really unchanged financially, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm going to continue with my current position in the future.
Do you think you could elaborate a little bit more and tell me, like, how you think COVID's affected the economy?
I think it's going to be hard for some of the lower income families to recover from this. I think they've lost their positions, and it's going to be difficult to find new ones. Some people have lost their housing, and I think, again, that's going to be a difficult hurdle to get over for some of these lower income families. I think that the higher income people have managed to shift. They've been able to adjust to going virtual and keep their jobs or find new ones. I'm mostly concerned with the businesses and individuals who have not been able to go virtual and have had to completely, will have to completely change their lives and employment.
Right, that's a very good point. Okay, so has COVID-19 affected the employment of people that you know? In what ways?
Personally, I've seen a lot with families having to struggle with children and helping them do their virtual school. I think that a lot of children have fallen behind because of this, and we're going to have a real struggle to catch up. Parents have, in some cases, lost their jobs because they can't do both, go to work and take care of their children. There's been a huge gap there, and I'm worried about the children catching up as well as the parents.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, how you think COVID learning compares to normal learning, especially in the preschool? Like, how is it different?
It's hard to do virtual and to shift. It's hard for the kids to do that. They can only have so much time on the screen before they get burnout, and I think that without a lot of support at home, kids just aren't able to keep with it. I think they need that support, and they don't necessarily have it at home, so there's a lot of people slipping through the cracks that way.
Mm-hmm.
Kids would have to be super motivated to be able to complete learning this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids without support, I think, are the ones that are going to really suffer.
Do you think that now that you guys, like, are back in person and everything, do you feel like that's at the same level as just a normal school year?
Oh, no. I think kids have lost, and they've lost the interactions with their peers. They've lost the social learning they would have been doing if they were all in person interacting. They've lost all that social emotional learning that's so important, especially for the younger children. Our kids have the start and stop has been really hard for them, to go in quarantine and then to come back into school and start again, and routine is super important for these children to give them a sense of safety and health. And that has been super hard for them. Kids have anxiety, and I think there's a lot of mental health issues that may be going on with a lot of our kids, even though they can't put it into words. I think we're going to see a lot of other issues coming up in the years to come.
How many times have you guys had to start and stop, like, do you think, since this whole thing started?
We've had 4 2-week quarantines.
Wow.
Since the fall. Yeah.
And was that a result of people testing positive?
Yes, either students or teachers. Yeah.
Got it. I am sorry. I'm sorry about the background noise. Okay. I am so sorry.